Day 34. Today we have a little bit of a shorter reading day with Micah 1 and 2, and then one chapter in Nahum.
Yeah, so if you had some catching up to do, this would have been a good day to do it. Micah 1 and 2, basically, God has, and we gotta understand where these things are. This is before the exile. When we read about Micah 1 and 2, you know, Daniel was during the exile. Micah is before the exile. So these, when you get to the minor prophets and the prophets, you're not really reading in chronological order, mm-hmm. which can be confusing sometimes.
Very confusing.
So honestly, when you're reading, it's why it's helpful to read a little bit about the book first, so it can tell you, like, well, when did this happen in history and all that. So this is before the exile, and this is basically God saying, "Hey, I'm sorry, but punishment is coming for you because you continue to serve false idols." In fact, you've read this in a lot in these prophets, right? We're seeing the themes over and over again. But This is him basically saying to the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom, Samaria and Jerusalem, he's like, listen, I am the Lord and I am bearing witness against you. From my holy temple, you have sinned, right? You're sinning. And so here's what he says, right? The mountains melt beneath him. This is God. He's describing himself. This is the Lord coming down. The mountains will melt. The valley will split apart like wax before the fire. Water rushing down a slope. All of this because of Jacob, because of Israel and Judah's transgressions, because of the sins of the people, right? Because they continue to just worship idols and they continue to be false. And so he goes through and he says, so weep and wail because disaster is coming from the Lord, because of your transgressions, this is happening. I'm bringing, he promises, like, this is really painful. He says, I'm bringing a conqueror against you. I'm bringing somebody to defeat you. Right. And that person is Assyria, right? Nineveh, who we just kind of looked at yesterday in Judah or in Jonah, and we'll look at again in the next part of this in Nahum. But he says, I'm bringing Nineveh against you. So mourn and shave your head and just know what's happening. And then he's saying to false prophets, stop talking. Like, you who keep saying, oh, don't worry, it's going to be fine. Quit it. It ain't going to be fine. Don't my words do good to the one whose ways are upright? Lately, my people have risen up like an enemy. And so it's just, it's bad. But I love how he ends chapter 2, right? This is the thing about the prophets. There's hope. He says, but after the judgment happens, I am a just God and I must follow through with judgment. But don't worry. I will surely gather all of you, Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. I will bring them together like sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pasture. The one who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them with the Lord at their head. Like, I love the gentleness. Like, he's like, look, it's coming. I'm bringing a nation against you, and you should melt with fear like wax in a flame. But in gentleness and tenderness, I will spare a remnant, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And so it really is kind of a dare I say, a pretty picture that even in the midst of all of this, God says, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. I'm going to bring judgment against you because you've earned it, but I won't leave you or forsake you. And then in Nahum 1, we skip ahead to God's anger against Nineveh, but this is after Nineveh has sent sent Israel into exile and attacked Judah.
So this is what, like, hundreds of years post Jonah?
Yeah, a couple hundred years. That Nineveh, what they did is they went back to their, they repented for that generation. But when that generation was over, kind of like the judges,
right?
Yeah,
I feel like everything comes back to the judges.
Yeah, kind of like the judges. They repented for a minute, but as soon as that generation was over, they went right back to their wickedness. Now, what's interesting about this, and this is why we got to wrap our head around this, God used Nineveh. God used the Assyrians to do his will. And then he punished them for it. right? Ooh, yeah. I know, right? You got to wrap your head around this. Hmm. But basically what happened is the northern kingdom of Israel had been so wicked that we just read, what did God say in Micah? I'm bringing a nation against you.
Yep.
And it's not like God said, hey, Assyria, do me a favor, go attack Israel.
Right.
That's what they wanted to do. And basically what God did is God just let them do it.
Yep.
And they were wicked and cruel, and they were who they acted like they wanted to act. Mm-hmm. And then afterward, God is going to come at them and say, who do you think you are, man? Mm-hmm. Right? Like who to be wicked and cruel? I've warned you about this. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting to think that God allowed them and used them as discipline.
Yep.
But then God turns around and disciplines them, right?
Huh, that's interesting.
It's this tension that we read in Nahum about the sovereignty of God and the free will of people. And God doesn't have a problem with that tension, but we do recognize it sometimes in Scripture. You know, God uses them to take over the people, but God doesn't tell them to be wicked and cruel and evil. They do that on their own.
Yep. And but he'll use that.
And he uses it, but he comes in then and says, but I warned you about this. Mm-hmm. I sent you Jonah.
Yeah.
You repented, which means you knew. Mm-hmm. And now you're doing it again. And so here's the punishment that comes upon you. And as punishment, God brings a nation against Nineveh. And the nation he brings against Nineveh is Babylon. Mm. So we see how these all play together as we read through this.